All right, Ite Iwi. Today's reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lydia. We'll just welcome Sam up and we'll pray for him and let him get into it. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through Sam this morning to all of us and that we would have something that we can take home and really it would permeate through us and grow that image of your love and your presence in our lives, Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Ooh. Great to see you all. Welcome to post-Easter Sunday. Just one. Let me set myself up. My name is Sam, by the way. I'm part of the speaking team here at All Saints. Also, I run the 7 p.m. gatherings with Chloe Davis and then our wonderful leadership team here at 7 o'clock. We're not doing it for the school holidays, just give a break to the team, but we'll start gathering again in the next couple of weeks. If you're new here, welcome. I'm not a usual speaker. I'm not David Trove. I can't talk like him, not Caleb either, but now this is me here. But really honored for the opportunity to speak this morning. I'm blessed with three beautiful kids and my beautiful wife. I really thank her for looking after the kids so I can prepare. Last night, she was with all three kids in the bedroom and I was in the lounge. So thank God for her. She looked after the kids and I can do some preparation. Now, how amazing was our Easter week? We had fantastic Good Friday and Easter Sunday as well. And thankfully, I wanted to invite my friends from work and I said, "Cool, let me try this." And so I invited a few of my friends that came along. Eventually, they always say, we'll see you there. But yeah, they finally came. So I was like, "Cool, I'll go and talk to them and get some feedback. How was the passion play? Did you enjoy it? Was it too intense for you?" Or something like that. They were sitting right at the back. And so I was walking in the warehouse and all I can hear from the aisles is, "Crucify him, crucify him." Okay. So next day I was like, "I'm not going to the warehouse, I'll go to the cafe, get some lunch as well." And the whole table right there was, "Crucify him, crucify him." David, what have you done to me? So they got the message. What happened last Sunday is the central doctrine of what we believe. And if there was no resurrection, there was no belief of what we believe as well. You know, we were just talking in our office and one of our bosses, because we supply to the supermarkets, they were really stressing about these hot cross buns. And it was just, I was like, why is this last minute? Why can't you order like a week before all the flour and all those things? And so my bosses, they were just stressing out to get all this baking into the supermarket so they can bake the hot cross buns. And all of a sudden, they just said, okay, they came to a point where it was like, we don't have enough flour to send across this. Let's just send ready-made, but there will be no cross on the buns. And I turned around and just say, well, if there's no cross, there's no Jesus, there's no Easter. And the lady behind there was like, yeah, go, Sam, go. So what we believe, it's really important what happened last Sunday, Easter Sunday, and Professor N.T. Wright, who's one of the leading New Testament scholars, he writes this, he says, that Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to really colonize earth with the life of heaven. So God bringing life into this earth is because of what he has done on the cross for us. And today, the text that was beautifully read by Lydia, it follows what happened last Easter Sunday morning. So what I'm talking tonight is, this morning is about what happened on the Easter night. So Easter morning, Jesus rose again, and the most profound event that has ever happened in the history, no one has risen again. This is the only time that has happened, and that evening, the disciples are filled with fear. I would have thought there was a party happening, like, yes, let's go. What Jesus said, he did it. But no, instead, they were in this room like this. I guess it could be an upper room. And the doors were closed. The doors were locked, it says. And they were sitting down and they were fearful because of the Jewish leaders. They are Jews, but they were fearful of their own leaders who would come and kill them. Now, in that moment is when we see Jesus walking into the room. Now, this is the first point I want to bring, is that the message of Jesus, what Jesus brings after he rose again, is brings the message of comfort. And the four amazing, profound words he uses is, peace be with you. In the moment when we are fearful, the Bible talks about fear a lot of times in the Bible. Almost 365 times it talks about fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. I am with you. Do not fear. And fear is something that can take you inside a room that you can lock yourself in the dark, and you can be crippled. This is what Job says in 4 chapter 14. It says, fear gripped me, my bones trembled. But in that moment comes Jesus into the room. He's looking for you whenever you're fearful. Are there moments in your life when you think, my health is going bad? The doctors have given a notice. I don't know what to do. There are times when fear grips us, there is unknown of what's going to happen in your life. Can I tell you, Jesus walks into the room and he says, peace be with you. And that's the God we worship. He's risen again, but now he's coming looking for you. How much he loves us. How much he cares for us. Jesus Christ. Now, there used to be times when I always play this game with my kids, peekaboo. I love it. Kids, do you like playing, your parents play peekaboo with you? You know, scientists say that it's one of those things that develops your brain and all that. I was like, I knew this. I didn't have to study it anyway. But I love this playing peekaboo with our kids, because our kids, sometimes they hide and I play for like half an hour with them. It creates a great atmosphere in the house. But my wife doesn't like it. But yeah, it's sometimes they do this thing where they're right in front of you. They close their eyes and then they think because they're closing eyes, they can't see you and you can't see them. Sometimes it is like this. The disciples think that, cool, if I don't think about God, he doesn't think about me. If I hide away, he doesn't know what I'm going through. But the message of Christ is that he brings comfort in those times when you're locked inside the room, in the dark moments, when you're crippled within, he brings peace inside. And the second point I want to say is that, how did Jesus walk into the room? How? I'm thinking, what? How did he do it? Well, scholars say there are a few options. Let me first tell you that he could have teleported. There is a possibility, you know, let's just not ignore that. Or did he have some invisible keys that, you know, they're all talking and he just, the door didn't open, he just unlocked it. Or the last part I liked is that he's sneaky Jesus. You know, sometimes there's crowds, people are talking, and he just sneaks away, and then he goes away and, you know, does different things. He could have sneaked into the room. Sorry, disciples were not aware, and there he is. But no matter what the situation is, he is looking for those people who are fearful. And the second point I want to bring is that the first is that Jesus brings the message of comfort, which means he brings peace be with you. The second is that the resurrection of Jesus is not about making us feel good. It summons us to a mission. When he says, peace be with you, the following sentence, he says, Jesus said again, he shows his hands and his side, and then the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then it says again, Jesus said, peace be with you. Whenever in the Bible, there are two times it mentions again and again, there's always something Jesus, the Bible is telling you something more important. Again I say. So this is the second time he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So the resurrection of Jesus is not about making us feel good. It summons us to a mission. After Easter, let's just all be happy and go home. No, really, there is a message here. Is what God is telling is that he is really sending us. And again, he doesn't send us just, for, okay, you go. He gives us something. He gives us God's breath, which is very powerful. It says, and with that, he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. The moment you go and tell people about God, you tell your friends, invite them to the church or talk to them about God, sit there, sit down and have a conversation with them, God is saying, it's not you who's telling, it's me who's talking through you. And when you talk to them about God, it's through the help of the Holy Spirit. Remember, talking for me, standing in front of a crowd and talking to me was nowhere in the picture. As you know, my background was, I had a massive stuttering. So for me, talking is not even in the picture. But I know that it's with the help of the Holy Spirit that I stand here and talk. 10 years ago, no way. 15 years ago, no way, I wasn't thinking. But that's what the power of Holy Spirit can do. How much more do we need the power of God today? You know, at the end, I would love to invite you to pray as the team sings. You can lift your hands. You can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit in our lives each and every day so we can live what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to go. Now, and this is the work of the Holy Spirit, is that he will make us uncomfortable in those things where we may not like to go, but he's asking us to go and talk to the person maybe. Maybe your friend who is struggling, talk to them about God. Give an invitation, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus says, is that if you forgive anyone's sins, these sins are forgiven. Are we gods? Can we forgive other people's sins? It is what God has done through us. When we talk to them, say, peace be with you. And that's the point I want to make today, is that when we tell people about God, what he can do, what it is God who is speaking through us. And anyone who believes in your word, God will forgive their sins. And if people do not believe, then he doesn't forgive their sins. We are his mouthpiece speaking the truth to others. How powerful it is. That is the authority that God gives us. So next time, kids, I have a question. If there is if your brother or your sister believes you, don't hit them back. Go and say, peace be with you. And I'll say the same thing to the husbands. Don't look around, please. Your wife's sitting next to you. You know, you're annoyed or whatever. Tell him, peace be with you. I hope we move into this new dimension of peace be with you everywhere. But the power that it carries is that we carry that gift that God has given us. We carry that gift and then we take that to the places we go to. We take that home. It's a gift, peace. I carry God's peace. I carry it at home. A work I go to, I carry that peace. Here, my friend, peace be with you. We don't have to do it at church. How about we do it at home? There is a power that we carry, the gift we pass on to others. And again, before I move to the next point, remember the pattern how God works in our life. He comes inside the room, in the dark room where people are sitting. They are fearful. He does. First thing, he works what's inside of us. The pattern that God does is that inside, let there be peace within, and then you can go out now and tell people other about God. First, he works inside, and then he goes, and then he asks us to go outside. So that's the pattern how God works. He works whatever is, there's a storm inside, let's deal with that first. And then he's sending us to go outside. Now, the first Easter Sunday evening, there was one person not there. In fact, there were two people not there. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12 disciples. So one is out of the picture, Judas, kick him out, hasta la vista. And then the second one is missing Thomas. Now, a week later, which means literally tonight, if you think about it, let's just trace back. So a week later, after Easter Sunday evening, the disciples are at the same place, and he appears into the room, and he gives the same message, peace be with you. Now, out of the 10 disciples, Thomas asked them the question, did you see Jesus? The response is, yes, I saw him last Sunday. Did you see Jesus? I saw him last Sunday. Did you see Jesus? Did you see Jesus? 10 people, 10 of his friends told him, yes, we saw Jesus. Yes, we saw Jesus. But this guy, as we call him, the doubting Thomas, he says, I will not believe until I see him face to face, until I put my hands, until I put my finger in his hands and reach out my hand and put it on his side. I will not believe. Now, I know some people will say he's a doubting Thomas, but can I tell you, this man was truthful. He was honest. At least he's honest. At least he's there and saying, I want to see him. Now, this is the irony about Thomas, is that out of all the countries in the world he could have gone, he went to India, the country of 330 million gods and goddesses. The doubting Thomas, and there in the southern part of India, in the state of Kerala, there is a tongue-twisting name, city, place called Kodalangur, and try saying that 5 times. That's where he landed. And the historical references say that he landed there. And the oldest denominational Christian church in southern part of India is called Marthoma Church. And they are the most spirit-filled churches in India. And I wonder sometimes, out of all the countries, why would you go to a country that is doubting God, that is not believing, but he's got so many gods and goddesses? I don't know the story, but eventually he came, and on that night when Jesus came, and Jesus told him, come, here I am. See my hands. See the side. And the words that he uttered is, my Lord and my God. No other disciples has ever said that to Jesus. My Lord and my God. And eventually he believed that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that you can have life in his name. I want to finish with this thought, is that, you know, we can go in peace tonight. We can go in peace today. And let us have a different understanding of not just peace with each other, but we carry that gift as we leave this place. We carry that gift at home, God's peace. In times when we are struggling within, in times where there is a turmoil, where you don't know the unknown, where there is a lot of unknowns happening, God says, peace be with you. Whether it's the health, whether it's the financial situation, his peace be with you. And as N.T. Wright says, it's a fresh start. It's a new project. And God wants to send us from here. Go to the neighboring places, to your friends, to your cities, to your mates, and tell them who I am, and the Holy Spirit will help us. How much more do we need the Holy Spirit today? Can I ask you to all stand up if you can? As the team plays, I really want us to open our hearts and open our hands as well as the team sings, and asking God to fill us with his Spirit. And if you are someone who's sitting here who have questions, I think it's absolutely fine to have questions about God, like Thomas. It's good to have questions, but let doubt never be the final destination for you. Let the final destination where you come to be believing in Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. So let me pray for you. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. We are so thankful. But we're even more thankful for breathing on us. Come, Holy Spirit. As we stand here, as we open our hearts to you,